Hello and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune and this is part one of The Abominable Snowman of Pasadena by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. The cover is a beautiful plush landscape in Pasadena and it has Sam Squanch or a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch or a Yeti. And he's ripping off a light pole and the wires are coming out like some blonde pubes. And it says, he's no fun in the sun. And Kevin Riddle, who is presumably Tom Riddle's brother, told me to read this one because it's holiday time and it was winter and whatnot. But now it's past that. That's why I was so busy and sick and this and that. But it doesn't matter. And yeah, even though I currently have the air conditioning fucking blaring in my place because I got home and the girlfriend left the heater on. Anyway, so these should come out more regularly now because I still have almost no time, but after 6 years of good times and bad times and mediocre times, I quit being the co-host of the old Comics Online podcast. But I still love you, Kevin Goswan, who I still think is going to be recording an episode of Dune Reads Goosebumps. Speaking of Dune Reads Goosebumps, hey Dune, yes, let's read some Goosebumps. Chapter number motherfucking one, yeah, yeah. All my life, I've wanted to see snow. My name is Jordan Blake. My life has been 12 years of sun, sand, and chlorine. I'd never felt cold ever, unless you count air-conditioned supermarkets, and I don't. It doesn't snow in the supermarket. But he probably could have gone to Disneyland, which is close enough to Pasadena, and they have fake snow there, but it's made out of little bubbles. I'd never felt cold. That is, until the adventure. Some people think I'm a lucky guy to live in Pasadena, California, where Dr. Drew lives, where it's always sunny and warm. It's okay, I guess. But if you've never seen snow, it seems like something out of a science fiction movie. Fluffy, white, frozen water that falls out of the fucking sky? It piles up on the ground, and you can urinate on it, and then you can trick your kid brother into eating your urine, and then you can laugh, and then slowly it'll develop into a fetish, and then you need someone eating frozen urine just to get semi-erect, and you can make forts and snowmen and snowballs out of it? You have to admit, it sounds weird. One day, my wish came true. I got to see snow at last, and it turned out to be weirder than I thought. Way weirder. That's how I am. I think I've only actually seen it snow maybe twice. Wow. Snow's cool, right? For like 10 minutes? It's fun? Yeah, whatever. Pay attention, kids. This is gonna be cool. Dad's face glowed under the red dark room light. My sister, Nicole, and I watched him developing film. With a pair of tongs, he dipped a sheet of special paper in a chemical bath. Years later, I'd find out that my dad was actually producing lots of LSD and selling them. The special paper was called a blotter sheet. I've watched Dad develop film all my life. He's a professional photographer, but I'd never seen him so excited about photos before, and that's saying a lot. Dad takes nature photos. Well, actually, he takes pictures of everything, like a Chinaman. He never stops taking pictures. My mom says that once when I was a baby, I saw Dad and screamed. I didn't recognize him without a camera in front of his face. I used to think he had a zoom lens for a nose. Oh my goodness. I'm drinking Steel Reserve. High gravity malt liquor. Because, you know, physically dependent upon it. Our house is filled with embarrassing pictures of me. Me as a baby in baggy diapers. Me with food all over my face. Me crying after scraping my knee. Me in a gimp mask. Me hitting my sister. Anyway, Dad had just returned from a trip to the Grand Tetons. I gotta go see what's up with my cat. If you're ever considering getting a cat, just realize I had to pause this, get up, move everything out of the way, go find the cat, and realized Oh, she was just sitting on top of the stairs. Well, it'd be a bigger deal if she was shitting on top of the stairs. But anyway, she was sitting on top of the stairs, staring up, screaming at the skylight because she'd like to be able to get there but can't reach it because it's like 20 feet up. That's what my cat was doing. That's why I got up right now. She was yelling at a skylight. Anyway, this kid's dad went to the Grand Teton. That's a mountain range in Wyoming, part of the Rocky Mountains. He was all worked up about the pictures he took there. "I wish you kids had seen those bears," Dad said. "A whole family of them. The cubs reminded me of you two, always teasing each other." Teasing, ha! Dad thinks Nicole and I tease each other. That's putting it mildly. Nicole, Miss Cunty Know-It-All, drives me crazy! Wow. "Sometimes I wish she'd never been born. I've made it my mission to make her feel the same way. I mean, I try to make her wish she'd never been born." You should have taken us with you to the Grand Tetons, Dad. Tetons. Tetons. Whatever. "Dad," I complained. "It's very cold in Wyoming this time of year," Nicole said. "How do you know, brainiac?" I jabbed her in the ribs. "You've never been to Wyoming." "I read up on it while Dad was away," she explained. "Of course. There's a picture book about it in the library if you want to know more, Jordan. It's just right for you. It's for first graders." She called him a Riri. I couldn't think of anything to say back. Probably because he's a Riri. "That's my problem. I'm too slow with the comebacks." So I jabbed her again. That's how stupid people work. They'll run around wearing, like, affliction shirts and can't form thoughts, so they just get mad and hit. "Hey, hey," Dad murmured. "No jabbing. I'm working here." Dumb Nicole. Not that she's dumb. She's really smart. But in a dumb way. That's my opinion. She's so smart she skipped fifth grade and landed in my class. She's a year younger than I am, and she's in my class. And she gets straight A's. Dad's pictures floated in the chemical bath, slowly becoming clear. "Did it snow in the mountains while you were there, Dad?" I asked. "Sure, it snowed," Dad replied. He was concentrating on his work. "Did you go skiing?" I asked, pointing to my nostril and making a sniffing sound. Dad shook his head. "I was too busy working." "How about ice skating?" Nicole asked. "What do you think I am, sweetie? A faggot?" We all laughed. Except for me, secretly. "I'm a homosexual. Oh my goodness. Nicole. Nicole. Niggle, please." Nicole acts as if she knows everything. But like me, she's never seen snow either. We had never left Southern California, and you could tell by looking at us. We both looked like the weasel. We're both tan all year round. Nicole's hair is greenish-blonde from the chlorine in the community pool, and mine is brown with blonde streaks. We're on the school swim team. "I'll bet it's snowing at Mom's house right now," Nicole said. "Could be," Dad replied. "Mom and Dad are divorced. Mom just moved to Pennsylvania. We're going to spend the summer with her, but we stayed in California with Dad to finish out the school year. Mom sent us some pictures of her new house. It was covered with snow!" I stared at the pictures, trying to imagine the cold. "I wish we stayed at Mom's house while you were gone," I said. "Jordan, we've been over this shit!" Dad sounded a little impatient. Or possibly impotent, and that's why Mom went to Pennsylvania. "You can visit your mother when she's settled. She hasn't even bought furniture yet. Where would you sleep?" "I'd rather sleep on a bare floor than listen to Miss Witchin snoring on the couch," I grumbled. Miss Witchin stayed with Nicole and me while Dad was away. She was a nightmare. Every morning we had to clean our rooms. She actually inspected them for dust. Every single night she served us liver, Brussels sprouts, and fish head soup with a tall glass of soy milk. "Her name's not Witchin's," Nicole corrected me. "It's Hitchin's." "I know that, sickhole," I retorted. Under the red light in the dark room, the photos grew clearer. I heard excitement in Dad's voice. If these shots come out well, I can publish them in a book, he said. I will call it The Brown Bears of Wyoming by Garrison Blake. Yes, that has a nice ring to it. He stopped to pull a photo out of the liquid. It dripped as he stared at it. That's weird, he murmured. What's weird? Nicole asked. He set the picture down without saying anything. Nicole and I glanced at it. Dad? Nicole said. I hate to break it to you, but that looks like a teddy bear. It was a picture of a teddy bear. A stuffed brown toy bear with a lopsided grin sitting on the grass. Not the kind of creature you'd usually find in the Grand Tetons. There must be some mistake, Dad said. Wait until the rest of the photos are developed. You'll see. They're amazing. He pulled up another picture. He studied it. Huh? I don't know why I feel a need to make a full body gesture and face every time I say, huh? And that sort of thing for the podcast. But apparently it does help. I grabbed the photo. Another teddy bear. Dad picked up a third picture, then a fourth. He moved faster and faster. More teddy bears, he cried. He was frantic. Even in the dark room, I could see the panic on his face. What's going on? He shouted. Where are the photos I took?
Chapter number two.
Dad, Nicole began, are you sure the bears you saw were real? Yes, bitch! Of course I'm sure! Dad boomed at her, threatening to backhand her in the face. I know the difference between a brown bear and a fucking teddy bear. He began to pace back and forth across the dark room floor. Did I lose the film somehow? He murmured, clutching his head with one hand. Could someone have switched it? The weird part is that you were taking pictures of bears, Nicole noted, and you ended up with teddy bears. That's just so strange. I get it, bitch. Shut up. Dad furiously tapped his hands on the developing table. He muttered to himself. He was starting to lose it. Did I lose the film on the plane somehow? Switch carry-on bags with someone else, maybe? I turned my back to Dad, my shoulder shaking. Jordan, what's the matter? Dad grabbed my shoulder. Are you all right? He spun me around. Jordan! Dad cried. You're laughing! Nicole crossed her arms. She narrowed her eyes at me. What did you do to Dad's pictures? Dad frowned. His voice was calmer now. All right, Jordan, what's the big joke? I gasped for breath, trying to stop laughing. Don't worry, Dad. Your pictures are okay. He shoved one of the teddy bear shots in my face. Okay? You call this okay? To quote the great Gerard Way, I am not okay. I borrowed your camera before you left for Wyoming, I explained. I took a bunch of shots of my old teddy bear for a joke. The rest of the film should have your real bears on it. I can't resist a good practical joke. Nicole said, I had nothing to do with it, Dad, I swear. Little Miss Goody Goody. Dad shook his head. A joke? He turned back to the photos and developed a few more. The next showed a real bear cub fishing in a stream. Dad laughed. You know, he said, putting the picture of the real bear next to the one of the teddy bear shots, they don't look as different as you'd think. I knew Dad wouldn't stay angry. He never does. That's one reason I like to play tricks on him. He likes to play practical jokes, too. Dad, did I ever tell you about... There's no dad there. This is actually the dad talking. It was actually the word did, but I confused I and A because alcohol. Did I ever tell you about the trick I pulled on Joe Morrison? He asked. Joe Morrison is a photographer friend of Dad's. Joe had just gotten back from Africa, where he'd spent months photographing gorillas. I don't see a joke in there.
He was all excited about these fabulous gorilla shots he'd taken. I saw the pictures, and they were really spectacular. Joe had a big meeting set with the editor of a nature magazine. He was going to go in and show the editor these photos. He was sure the magazine would snap them up in a second. Joe didn't know that the editor and I had gone to college together, so I called her up and asked her to help me play a little joke on Joe. You know, he's going to put the Joe in joke.
There you go, R.L. Stine. Next edition of that, you can have this joke. No problem.
When Joe went to see her, he showed her the pictures. She looked at them without saying a fucking word. Finally, he couldn't stand the suspense any longer. He blurted out, "Well, do you like them or not?" He's an impatient guy, Joe.
"What did she say?" I asked.
She frowned and said, "You're a good photographer, Mr. Morrison, but I'm afraid you've been tricked. The creatures you photographed aren't gorillas at all." Joe's jaw practically fell off his face, like in the Middle Ages when people had syphilis and their skin would just fall off and their jaw would be exposed and it looked like fucking zombies because they're having sex with Incan women. That's what Joe's fucking face looked like. He said, "What do you mean they're not gorillas?" She said, with a perfectly straight face, "They're people in gorilla suits. Can't you tell the difference between a real gorilla and a man in a gorilla suit, Mr. Morrison?" I chuckled. Nicole asked, "Then what happened?" Joe practically had a nervous breakdown. He snatched up the photos and stared at them. He shouted, "I don't get it. How could that happen? I spent 6 months of my goddamn life studying people in gorilla suits." Finally, the editor burst out laughing and told him it was a joke. She loved the photos and wanted to publish them. Joe wouldn't believe her at first. It took her 15 minutes to get him to calm the fuck down. Dad and I both laughed.
"I think that's really mean, Dad," Nicole scolded like a little bitch.
I get my Joker streak from Dad. Nicole takes after my mom. She's more practical.
Hey, why doesn't she take her fucking practical ass back to Pennsylvania with real mom, you know? And just leave the family. Hold it together.
Joe thought it was funny once he got over the shock, Dad assured her. He's played his share of tricks on me, believe me. Dad switched another photo through the chemical bath, then held it up with his tongs. It showed two bear cubs wrestling. He smiled with satisfaction. "This role came out great," he said, "but I've got a lot more work to do in here, kids. Get the fuck out of here, all right?" He turned the red light off and flipped on the normal light. Nicole opened the door. "Don't get all messed up and dirty, though," Dad added. "We're all going out to dinner tonight. I want to celebrate my luck with the brown bears."
"Well, be careful," Nicole promised.
"Speak for yourself," I said.
"I mean it, Jordan," Dad warned.
"Just kidding, Dad." A wave of heat blasted us when we opened the dark room door. Nicole and I stepped out into the backyard, blinking in the afternoon sun. It always takes my eyes a long time to adjust after I've been in the dark room.
"What do you want to do?"
Nicole asked. "I don't know," I replied. "It's so hot. It's too hot to do much of anything. Ugh, my taint. Ugh. Oh, God. My taint is just flowing with liquid. Oh, it's going down both my legs. Oh, my God, it's going down my legs. Oh, my God. Oh, God, I hate fucking Pasadena." Nicole closed her eyes and zoned out for a minute.
"Nicole," I nudged her.
"Nicole, what are you doing?" "I'm thinking about the snow in Dad's pictures of the Grand Tetons. I thought it would make me feel cooler."
"What are you, the kid from The Giver?"
Nailed it, by the way. She stood perfectly still with her eyes closed. A bead of sweat dripped down her forehead. A whole necklace worth of beads of sweat rolled down my tank.
"Well," I asked, "is it working?"
She opened her eyes and shook her head.
"No. How can I imagine snow if I've never felt it?"
"Good point." I sighed and gazed around me. "We live in a subdivision in the suburbs of Pasadena. There are only three different kinds of houses in our neighborhood. The same three house styles are repeated for miles around. It's so boring to look at. It makes me feel even hotter somehow. Each block has a couple of palm trees, not enough to give much shade. There's a vacant lot across the street from us, next door to the Millers. The most exciting feature of our backyard, maybe the whole block, is Dad's disgusting compost heap. I squinted and stared some more. Everything appeared bleached in the sunlight. Even the grass looked almost white. I'm so bored I could scream, I complained. Let's ride our bikes, Nicole suggested. Maybe the breeze will cool us off.
Maybe, Lauren will want to go with us, I added.
Lauren Sachs.
More like Lauren Sex.
Since the show has parental advisory, I could finally let everyone know. You know, I've been making jokes about sex for a long time. But before, it wasn't actually parental advisory or explicit content. That's what it is on the show. But now I can actually tell you what sex is. It's when a dude's dong gets a boner, and then he puts it in a girl and, like, rubs it around, and it feels good for both of them. Mostly for him.
Lauren Sachs lives next door to us. She's in our class at school. I see her so often, she might as well be my sister.
We rolled out our bikes from the garage and walked them over to Lauren's. We left our bikes at the side of her house. Then we went around back. We found Lauren sitting on a towel under a palm tree in her backyard. Nicole sat behind Lauren on the towel. Beside, I leaned against the tree.
It's so hot!
Lauren whined. She tugged on her yellow shorts. She's tall and muscular, with long brown hair and bangs. She looks an awfully lot like China the wrestler, apparently. She has a nasally voice. Good for complaining. Once again with the China. This is supposed to be winter. It's winter everywhere else. A normal winter has snow and ice and sleet and freezing rain and cold, cold air. What do we get? Nothing but sun. Why do we have to be so hot? Suddenly, I felt a pain in my back. Ow! I jerked forward. Something stabbed me. Something stinging, sharp, and ice cold. My face twisted in pain.
Jordan! Nicole gasped. What's wrong? What is wrong?
Quick side note, because the chapter just ended. One of the, I think, two times I have actually seen snow was at a place called Big Bear in California, which is much closer to Pasadena than where I live. And we went there to go snowboarding. And there was... Big Bear also has, apparently, lots of bear, like, convention things of the big, hairy gay dudes, which is essentially what I would be if I were gay. And I was sitting in the jacuzzi at the hotel we were staying with, like, my brother, like, my cousins or something like that. And it was awesome because I hadn't experienced snow, and sitting there, and it's warm, and the steam's rising up, and the snow is falling on us in the warm jacuzzi, and it's magical, until two big, hairy dudes, like, 3 feet away from my 12-year-old ass, just start fucking making out, like, tongues out of the mouth, kissing. Yeah, so I assume that happens every time it snows? Yes? Yeah, you don't want snow, Jordan, in this book. It's just a bummer. It's very uncomfortable.
Hey, 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 chapter 3, yeah.
I clutched the icy spot on my back. What is it? I cried, it's so cold.
Nicole jumped to her feet and examined on my back.
Jordan, you've been stabbed, she announced.
With a purple popsicle.
As I turned around, I heard mean laughter. The Miller twins jumped out from behind the tree. I should have known. The Miller twins. Kyle and Kara. Both with K names, because their parents are douchebags. The twin pug noses. The beady little eyes. The matching short cropped red hair. Ugh, fucking yuck! They carried twin super soakers. Red ones. The Miller twins love practical jokes. They're worse than I am, and much meaner. Everyone in the neighborhood is afraid of them. They pounce on little kids waiting at the bus stop and rob them of their lunch money. Once, they blew up the Sax's mailbox with a stink bomb. And one time, they made me kiss my dog. Ew! Last year, Kyle sucker punched me during a basketball game. He thought it was funny to watch me turn purple. Purple! The Millers like to pick on me more than anyone for some reason. Kara is just as scary as her brother Kyle. I hate to admit it, but Kara can take me out with one punch. I know that for a fact. She gave me a black eye last summer. So hot, it's so hot.
Kara sneered, making fun of Lauren's whiny voice. Kyle flipped his super soaker from one hand to the other behind his back. He tried to make it look like a really complicated move.
Arnold taught me how to do that,
he bragged. Kyle wanted me to think he was talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger, future governor of California. He claims he knows Arnold. I have my doubts. Nicole tugged on the back of my shirt. Dad's gonna kill you, Jordan, she said. Why? I craned my neck backwards. The back of my white polo shirt was stained dark purple. Ah, fuck, I muttered. Dad said not to get messed up, Nicole reminded me, as if I needed to be reminded. Shut up, bitch! Because apparently he speaks with the same, or thinks with the same stutter that I speak with. Don't worry, Jordan, Kyle said. We'll clean it off for you. That's okay, I murmured, backing away. Whatever Kyle meant by clean it off, I knew I wouldn't like it, and it probably would involve my butt. I was right. He and Kara raised their super soakers and squirted me, Nicole, and Lauren. Probably in the butt.
Stop it!
Lauren screamed.
You're getting us all wet!
Kyle and Kara laughed their maniac laughters. Maniac.
You said you were hot.
They drenched us. My shirt was so wet I could wring a glass of water out of it. I glared at them. Kyle shrugged.
We're only trying to help.
Yeah, sure they were. I should have been grateful that all they did was soak us. We got off easy. I can't stand those Miller twins. Neither can Nicole and Lauren. They think they're so hot just because they're flaming gingers. Sorry. Just because they're 13 and have a swimming pool in their backyard. Their father works at a movie studio. They're always bragging about how they get to go to sneak previews and hang out with movie stars. I haven't seen a movie star show up at their house yet. Not once. Well, I saw Pauly Shore there, but he was just there to clean the pool. Up top, Dune rules.
Ah, you're all wet,
Kara said, sneering. Why don't you take a bike ride to dry off? Nicole and I exchanged glances. When we're alone, we don't get along so well. But when the Millers are around, we have to stick together. We knew the Millers too well. They wouldn't mention our bikes without a reason. A bad reason. What did you do to our bikes? Nicole demanded. The Millers faked wide-eyed innocence.
Who? Us? We didn't do anything to your precious bikes. Go see for yourself.
Nicole and I glanced around the side of Lauren's house, where we'd left our bikes.
They look okay from here,
Nicole whispered.
There's something wrong with them,
I said. They look weird. We approached our bikes. They looked weird, all right. The handlebars had been unscrewed and twisted backwards.
Hope you have a reverse gear, Kyle snickered like a retard.
Normally, I'm not the kind of guy who goes around getting in fights, but something in me snapped. This time, Kyle and Kara had gone too far. I jumped on Kyle. We tumbled to the ground. We wrestled. I tried to pin him with my knee, but he pushed me over on the side.
Stop it! Nicole screamed. Stop it!
Kyle rolled me on my back.
You thought you could jump me, Jordan? You're too big a wimp.
I kicked him. He pinned my shoulder to the ground with one knee. I became erect. Nicole shouted hysterically, Jordan, look out! I glanced up. Kara stood over me, clutching a rock the size of her head. Jesus. A mean grin spread across her face.
Drop it, Kara, Kyle ordered.
I tried to roll out of the way, but I couldn't move. Kyle had me pinned. Kara heaved the rock. Then she let it drop right onto my head. What the fuck? That is some heavy child-on-child crime. Let's see what happens now.
Chapter number 4.
I squeezed my eyes shut. The rock landed on my forehead and bounced off. I opened my eyes. Kara laughed like a hyena. She picked up the rock and dropped it on my face again. It bounced off, just like the first time. Lauren grabbed it. It's made of sponge, she announced. She squeezed it in her hand. It's a fake. Kyle laughed. It's a movie prop, moron. Ah, you fooled old Dune, you know? But, to be fair, I was only, you know, going off the information I was given by R.L. Stine, the liar of a writer. You should have seen your face, Kara added. What a chicken. I kicked Kyle off me and pounced on him again. This time I was so mad I had the strength of two Kyles. I wrestled him to the ground. I had him pinned. What's going on, guys? Uh-oh. Dad. I leaped to my feet. Hi, Dad. We are just kidding around. Just joshing. Do kids still say joshing? But we were joshing. Kyle sat up, rubbing his elbow. Dad didn't even seem to notice that we'd been fighting. He was excited about something. Listen, kids, I have great news. Wilderness Magazine just called. They want to fly me to Alaska. Great, Dad, I said sarcastically. You get to go on another exciting trip while we stay here and die of boredom. And heat, Nicole added. Dad laughed. I called Miss Hitchens to see if she could come stay with you again. He began. Not Miss Hitchens again, I cried. Dad, she's horrible. I can't stand her cooking. I'll starve to death if she stays with us. You will not, Jordan, Nicole said. Even if you ate only bread and water, you could survive a week easily. I have it on good authority that niggas can still get swole off bread and water, okay? And I also have it on good authority that I don't know if the LAPD are fags or what, but they're always searching a nigga down and grabbing his nuts, okay? Nicole? Jordan? Hello? Dad said, knocking lightly on our heads. Will you please listen to me, assholes? I haven't finished yet. Sorry, Dad. Anyway, Miss Hitchens can't come, so I guess you two will have to come along with me. To Alaska! I cried. I was too excited to believe it. Hooray! Nicole yelled. We jumped up and down. It was so exciting. Why did I need to add it was so exciting? That added nothing to the story. I gotta read this one. Oh, three more pages. Until I can check my text messages. You guys are so lucky, Lauren said. Kara and Kyle stood by, saying nothing. We're going to Alaska, I shouted. We get to see snow, tons of snow, Alaskan snow. I was thrilled, and Dad hadn't even told us the interesting part yet. It's a strange project, Dad continued. They want me to track down some kind of snow creature. And, you guys ready? An abominable snowman! Wow, I gasped. Kyle and Kara snorted. So jealous. Nicole shook her head. An abominable snowman? Has anyone really seen him? Dad nodded. Some kind of snow creature has been spotted. Who knows what it really is? Whatever it is, the magazine wants me to shoot photos of it. I'm sure it's a wild goose chase. There's no such thing as an abominable snowman. So why are you going? Nicole asked. I poked her in the ribs. Who gives a shit we're going to Alaska, asshole? The magazine is paying a big fee, Dad explained, and even if we don't find a snow creature, I'll still get some great shots of the tundra. Lauren asked, what's a tundra? Dad began to reply, but Nicole stepped forward. I'll handle this one, Dad, she interrupted. I felt like screaming. She does that in school all the time, too. A tundra is a huge frozen plain. It exists in the Arctic, in Alaska, and in Russia. The word tundra comes from the Russian, meaning... I clapped my hand over her big mouth. Any other questions, Lauren? Lauren shook her head. That's all I needed to know. Again, here goes on forever if you don't stop that bitch. I let go of Nicole's mouth. She stuck her tongue out at me. The trip is going to be great. I cried happily. We'll see ice and snow for real. We're gonna hunt for an abominable snowman. Fucking awesome! An hour earlier, we'd been bored out of our minds. Now, suddenly, everything had changed. By the way, I'm just like this kid where, we occasionally go up to the mountains and stuff because my parents and brother got a place up there. And I'm like, I don't believe in Sasquatch despite, you know, subscribing to the Bigfoot subreddit and talking about it constantly and making rap songs about it. However, every time I go on a hike, stick breaks 100 feet away. Sasquatch. It's Bigfoot. It has to be. I know it is. Because I'm an idiot. Dad smiled. I've got to go back to the dark room for a while. Don't forget, we're going out to dinner tonight. He wandered back across the lawn and into the house. As soon as Dad was gone, Kara started laughing. An abominable snowman. What a joke. Typical Kara. She was too chicken to say any word while Dad was around. Kyle made fun of me, jumping around and squealing, Alaska, Alaska, I need to see snow. You both will probably turn blue and freeze, Kara sneered. We'll be fine, Nicole said. It's your turn to freeze. She grabbed Kara's super soaker and sprayed a water in the bitch's face and shit. Stop it, Kara shouted. Kyle shouted. He dove at Nicole. Nicole laughed and ran away, turning around to soak them every few feet. Get that back, Kara yelled. The Millers chased Nicole. Kyle raised his super soaker and let Nicole have it in the back. Hey-o, up top. Lauren and I ran after them. Nicole raced into our backyard. She turned around and squinted in the Millers again. You can't catch me, she cried, shooting and walking backwards. She was walking right into Dad's compost heap. Should I warn her? I thought. No way. Take that, she shouted, blasting the Millers with water. Then she slipped and fell backwards into the compost heap. Yuck! Lauren groaned. Nicole stood up slowly. Greenish, brown slime oozed in her hair and dripped down her back, her arms, and her legs. She screamed, frantically wiping the glop off her hands. We all stood and stared. She looked like some kind of abominable snowman herself, all covered in glop. We were still staring when Dad popped his head out the back door. You kids ready to go to dinner? He called. I bet they aren't ready to go to dinner because she's covered in glop. That's what I think. Chapter number 5. There it is, Dad shouted over the roar of the small plane's engine. Icknick, that's the airstrip. I stared out the window at the tiny brown patch where we'd be landing. For the last half hour, I'd seen nothing but miles and miles of snow. Wow, it was so white. It was cool, the way snow sparkled in the sunlight. It made me think of Christmas carols. I couldn't get Winter Wonderland out of my head, and it was driving me crazy. What did I have stuck in my head for days? It was some Bjork song. I think it might have been,
He's Full of Love.
I watched for giant footprints as we flew. How big would an abominable snowman footsteps be? Oh, snowman's. Big enough to see from a low-flying plane? I hope there's a restaurant down there, Nicole said. I'm starving. Dad patted her shoulder. We'll have a big hot meal before we set out. But after that, it's camping food. How are we going to build a fire in the snow? Nicole asked. We'll be staying in a little cabin, Dad replied. It's a long way out in the tundra, but it's better than sleeping in tents. There should be a stove in the cabin.
I hope so, anyway.
Can we build an igloo and sleep in that, I asked, or dig out an ice cave?
You can build an igloo, you can't...
Brain, work! You can't build an igloo just like that, Jordan, Nicole snapped. It's not like a snow fort or something, right, Dad? Dad took the lens cap off his camera and started taking pictures through the plane window.
Sure, he said, absentmindedly,
Nicole turned to the window, too. I mimicked her behind her back.
You can't build an igloo just like that,
I mouthed. She acts like she's my teacher or something. It's really embarrassing when she does it in front of everybody at school. How are we going to find the cabin? Nicole asked. Everything looks the same in all this snow. Dad turned and snapped a picture of her. Did you say something, Nicole? I was wondering how we're going to find the cabin, Nicole repeated. Do you know how to use a compass, Dad? A compass? No, but that doesn't matter. A man named Arthur Maxwell is supposed to meet us at the airport. He'll be our guide through the tundra. I know Arthur, the pilot shouted back to us. He's an old musher from way back, knows everything about dogs and sleds. He knows this part of Alaska better than anybody, I guess. Maybe he's seen the abominable snowman. I suggested. How do you know there is such a thing? Nicole taunted. We haven't seen any sign of him yet. Nicole, people have seen him with their own eyes, I replied. And if there's no such thing, what are we doing here? Some people say they've seen him, Nicole said. Or maybe they think they've seen one. I won't believe it until I get more facts. I learned from a podcast that Gio had me listen to recently that the guy who paints all the Goosebumps covers doesn't, like, read the books. He just gets the tiny, tiny synopsis of them and then paints it. And sometimes they're wildly, wildly inaccurate. And I'm afraid that this one's just all going to take place in Alaska. And there's not even going to be an abominable snowman in Pasadena. And then I'm going to get bummed out. So, we're only 26 pages in. We'll see how it goes. The plane circled the small town. I played with a zipper on my new Arctic jacket. I'd been hungry a few minutes earlier, but now I was too excited to think about food. There really is an abominable snowman down there, I thought. I know there is. I felt a chill, despite a blast of hot air from the plane's heater. What if we find him? What will happen then? What will happen if the abominable snowman doesn't like to be photographed? The plane flew very low. Getting ready to land, we touched down with a bump and taxied her along the runway. The plane lurched as the pilot put on the brakes. Something big loomed at the end of the runway. Something huge, white, and monstrous. Dad, look! I cried. I see him! The abominable snowman! Chapter... Hold up 1 second. Download complete Laputa Castle in the Sky. Chapter number 6. The plane squealed out to a stop right in front of the big monster. Dad, Nicole, and the pilot all laughed at me. I hate that, but I couldn't blame them. The big white monster was a polar bear. A statue of a polar bear. The polar bear is the symbol of the town, the pilot explained. Oh, I murmured. I knew I was blushing. I turned away. Jordan knew that, Dad said. He was just playing one of his practical jokes. Yeah. I went along with it. I knew it was a statue all along. That's something I knew. I was aware of that shit. There are very few things I'm aware of, but that was number one on my list of things I'm aware of. You did not, Jordan, Nicole said. You were really scared. I punched Nicole in the arm. I was not. It was a joke. Dad put an arm around each of us. Isn't it great the way these two kids, like each other and stuff? Ow. What it really said was, isn't it great the way these two kid each other? He said to the pilot. If you say so, the pilot replied. We hopped out of the plane. The pilot opened the cargo hold. Nicole and I grabbed our backpacks. Dad had brought a huge airtight trunk for film, cameras, food, sleeping bags, and other supplies. The pilot helped him carry it off the airstrip. The trunk was so big, Dad could fit inside it. It reminded me of a red plastic coffin. Iknik Airport was like a tiny wooden house. Just two rooms. Two pilots in leather jackets sat at a table playing cards. A tall, brawny man with dark hair, a thick beard, and leathery skin, who I'm sure looked like the brawny man, am I right, you know, stood up and crossed the room to greet us. His gray parka hung open over a flannel shirt and deerskin pants. This must be our guide, I realized. Mr. Blake, the man said to Dad, his voice low and hoarse. I'm Arthur Maxwell. Need some help here? He grabbed one end of the trunk from the pilot. This is an awfully big trunk you brought, Arthur added. Do you really need all this stuff? Dad reddened. I've got a lot of cameras, tripods, and things. Maybe I overpacked. I don't fucking know. Just carry it, you oaf. Arthur frowned at me and Nicole. I'd say so. Call me Gary, Dad said. These are my kids, Jordan and Nicole. He nodded toward us. Nicole said hi, and I added, nice to meet you. I can be polite when I have to be. You should always be polite, Jordan. You don't have to be a douche all the time. Arthur stared at us. Then he grunted. You didn't mention kids, he mumbled to my dad after a minute. I'm sure I did, Dad protested. I don't remember it, Arthur replied, frowning. Everyone was silent. We pushed through the airport door and started down the muddy road.
I'm hungry,
I said.
Let's go into town and have some food.
How far is it to town, Arthur? Dad asked.
How far? Arthur echoed. You're looking at it.
I stared around in surprise. There was only one road. It began at the airport and ended in a pile of snow about 2 blocks away. A few wooden buildings were sprinkled along it.
This is it?
I cried like a little ungrateful bitch. It's not Pasadena, Arthur grumbled, but we call it home. He led us down the muddy road to a diner called Betty's. I guess you're hungry, he grumbled. Might as well eat a hot meal before we set out. We settled into a booth by the window. Nicole and I ordered hamburgers, French fries, and Cokes. Dad and Arthur ordered coffee and beef stew. I've got a sled and 4 dogs ready to go.
Franklin, look at me. Would you like to be a sled dog one day?
He didn't say no explicitly. However, he is currently cuddled up on an electric blanket. That's his own personal electric blanket. So I'm thinking he's not into sled dogging. I'll ask him in a little bit. Franklin, do you feel like talking? No? Okay.
Arthur announced, the dogs can pull this trunk of yours and other supplies. We'll walk beside the sled.
That sounds fine, Dad said.
Whoa! I protested. We're walking? How far?
10 miles or so, Arthur replied.
10 miles! I'd never walked that far before.
Why do we have to walk? Why can't we take a helicopter or something?
Because I want to take photos along the way, Jordan, Dad explained. The landscape is fascinating. You never know what we'll come across.
Maybe we'll come across the abominable snowman, I thought. That would be cool as shit and tight as fuck.
Our food arrived. We all ate in silence. Arthur wouldn't look me in the eye. He wouldn't look any of us in the eye. He stared out the window while he ate. Outside on the street, a Jeep drove by.
Have you ever seen the snow creature we're looking for?
Dad asked Arthur.
Arthur speared a piece of meat with his fork and popped it in his mouth. He chewed. He chewed some more.
Dad, Nicole, and I all watched, waiting for an answer. Finally, he swallowed.
Never seen it, he said. Heard about it, though. Lots of stories.
I waited to hear one of the stories, but Arthur kept on eating. I couldn't stand waiting any longer.
What kind of stories?
He swabbed at some gravy with his bread. He stuffed it into his mouth, chewed, and swallowed.
Couple of people in town, he said. They've seen the monster.
Where? Dad asked.
Out by the big snow ridge, Arthur said. Behind the old musher's cabin where we're staying.
Well, that's fucking convenient.
Convenient.
God damn, words are hard.
What does he look like? I asked.
They say he's big.
No shit, Arthur.
Big and covered with brown fur. You might think he's a bear, but he's not. He walks on 2 feet like a man. And he pees sitting down like a woman.
I shuddered. The abominable snowman sounds a lot like a vicious cave monster I saw in a horror movie once.
Arthur shook his head. Personally, I hope we never find him.
Dad's jaw dropped.
But that's what we're here for. It's my fucking job to find him.
If he exists.
Oh, he exists all right, Arthur declared. Friend of mine, another musher. He was out in a blizzard one day, ran smack into the snow monster. What happened? I asked. You don't want to know. Arthur stuffed more bread into his mouth. We certainly do want to know, Dad persisted. Arthur stroked his beard. The monster picked up one of the dogs and made off with him.
Ooh.
He's a real dog fucking snow monster. My friend chased after him, trying to get the dog back. Never found him. But he could hear the dog whining. Sexual howls. I didn't even have to fucking make stupid jokes about this. Let me just read it in a sensual voice. But he could hear that dog whining. Pitiful howls. Whatever happened to that dog, it sounded, ooh, pretty bad. He's probably a carnivore, Nicole said. A meat eater. Most animals around here are. There's so little vegetation. I jabbed Nicole. I want to hear about the snowman, not your stupid fucking nature facts, bitch. Arthur flashed Nicole an annoyed glance. I figured he was thinking. What planet is she from? That's what I'm usually thinking anyway. Hey, excuse me, sirens? Can you guys knock that off? It's pretty loud. I'm trying to record a podcast here. He cleared his throat and continued. My friend came back to town. He and another guy went out to try and capture the snow monster. Darn foolish, if you ask me. What happened to them? I asked. Don't know, Arthur said. They never came back. Huh? I gasped at the big guide. I swallowed hard. Excuse me? Did you say they never came back? Arthur nodded solemnly. They never came back. Chapter number 7. Maybe they got lost in the tundra, Dad suggested. Doubt it, Arthur said. These two knew what they were doing. The monster killed them. That is what happened. He paused to butter another slice of bread. Close your mouth, Jordan, Nicole said. I don't want to look at your chewed-up French fries. I guess my mouth had been hanging open. I shut it and swallowed. I'm a real mouth breather. Arthur seems like a weird guy, I thought. But he's not lying to us. He definitely believes in the abominable snowman, Nicole asked him. Has anyone else seen the snow monster? Yeah. A couple of TV people from New York City. Most likely Jews. They heard about what happened to my friend and came to town to investigate. They set out into the tundra. Never came back either. We found one of them, frozen to death in a block of ice. Who knows what became of the other? Oh, wow, that's probably what happened to Link. You know, from Encino Man. You know what I'm saying. Then, Miss Carter, she lives at the end of Main Street. She saw the monster a few days later, Arthur continued in a low voice. She was looking through her telescope and spied him in the tundra. He was chewing on bones, she said. Don't believe me? Go ask her yourself. Dad made a noise. I glanced at him. He was trying to keep from laughing. I didn't see what was so funny. Neither did Dune's listeners. This snow monster sounds pretty scary to me. Arthur glared at Dad. You don't have to believe me if you don't want to, Mr. Blake, he said. Call me Gary, Dad repeated. I'll call you what I please, Mr. Blake, Arthur said sharply. What I'm telling you is true. That monster is real, and he is a killer. You're taking a big risk chasing after him. No one has ever caught him. Anyone who goes after him... doesn't return! We'll take our chances, Dad said. I've heard stories like this before in other parts of the world. Stories about monsters in the jungle or weird creatures in the ocean. So far, the stories have never turned out to be true. I have a different feeling about the abominable snowman. Also, he says, I have a feeling the abominable snowman will be no different. Part of me wanted to see the real snow creature, but part of me hoped Dad was right. I don't deserve to die, I thought, just because I want to see snow. Well, Dad said, wiping his mouth, let's get going. Everybody ready?
I'm ready,
Nicole piped up. So bitchy, that Nicole.
Me too, I said. I couldn't wait to get out in the snow.
Arthur said nothing. Dad paid the lunch check. We waited for change.
Dad? I asked.
What if the abominable snowman is real? What if we run into him? What will we do? He pulled something small and black out of his coat pocket. It's probably not a gun, because that's the only thing that would be helpful. This is a radio transmitter, he explained. If we get in any trouble out in the wilderness, I can radio the ranger station in town. They'll send a helicopter to rescue us. What kind of trouble, Dad? Nicole asked. I'm sure there won't be any trouble, Dad assured us. But it's good to be prepared for emergencies, right, Arthur? Arthur smacked his lips and cleared his throat, but he didn't reply. I figured he was angry because Daddy didn't believe his stories about the snow monster. Dad returned the radio transmitter to his coat pocket. He left a tip for the waitress. Then we spilled outside into the cold Alaskan air, ready to head out for the frozen tundra. Was an abominable snowman waiting for us somewhere out there? We would soon find out. All right, so it's now the next day. I was like, man, I'm fucking sucking at this. I'm just reading it. I can't fucking think of jokes. I can't do anything. I fucking quit, and I quit yesterday. But now it's the morning, and it's not even morning. It's 1 on Saturday, and I was trying to get hype for it, so the last like hour and a half trying to get a solid buzz on so I can record the podcast. But now I have said solid buzz on. So now I just switched over to drinking a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale to try to maintain this buzz and get through this book. You know what I'm saying? I was listening to the new Danny Brown old album, which I still think is the best album of 2013. Getting hyped. Ready to record some podcast. Shit. Swag. Chapter number 8. Smack! Bullseye. I hit Nicole in the middle of her backpack with a snowball.
Dad!
Nicole cried.
Jordan hit me with a snowball.
Dad had his camera in front of his face, clicking away as usual.
Good for you, Nicole,
he said absently. Nicole rolled her eyes. Then she ripped off my ski cap. She stuffed it full of feces and smushed it right on my head. Stinky. Snow trickled down. Oh, I'm sorry. It said snow instead of feces. Common mistake. Anyone could have made it. Snow trickled down my face. The cold burned my skin. At first, I thought snow was cool. I could mush it up in my hands to make snowballs. Fall down in it without getting hurt. Put it on my tongue and let it melt into water. But I was beginning to feel cold. No shit, douchebag. What's up, cat? There's horrible banging coming from upstairs and just one cat up there. God damn it. I was catching my flow. I gotta go research this cat drama. It was a trap. It was a straight-up booby trap. I got up there and was immediately attacked. But I was beginning to feel the cold. My toes and fingers were getting numb. We had already walked 2 miles out of town. When I looked back, I couldn't see it. I could only see snow and sky. Only 8 more miles to the cabin, I thought, wiggling my fingers inside my mittens. 8 more miles. It was going to take forever. And all around us, nothing but snow. Miles and miles. Just like Dune's cocaine dreams. Dad and Arthur trudged beside the dog sled. Arthur had brought along 4 Alaskan huskies. Binko, Rocky, Tintin, and Nicole's favorite, Lars. They pulled Dad's big trunk and other supplies in a long, narrow sled. Nicole and I each carried a backpack filled with emergency food and other supplies. Just in case, Dad said. In case of what, old man? I wondered. In case we get lost? In case the dogs run away from the sled? In case we get straight up Donner partied and you eat us first because I'm chubby as shit and look delicious? In case the abominable snowman! Dad snapped pictures of the dogs, of us, of Arthur, of the snow. Nicole threw herself backwards into a snow drift. Look, an angel! She cried, waving her arms up and down. She jumped up and we checked out the snow angel. Cool, I admitted. I lay on my back to make one too. When Nicole came closer to inspect it, I whopped her with a snowball. As someone of Italian American descent, I don't appreciate the use of the term whopped. Okay? We prefer
I dagoed her with a snowball.
Hey, she cried. I'm gonna get you for that. I leaped up and darted away. The deep snow crunched under my shoes. Nicole ran after me. We raced ahead of the dog sled.
Be careful, kids, Dad called after us. Stay out of trouble.
I stumbled in the snow. Nicole pounced on me. I wiggled free and bolted away. What kind of trouble could we get into? I thought as my feet crunched along. There's nothing but snow for miles around. We couldn't even get lost out here.
Fairly confident that's exactly what it means.
I turned around and ran backwards, waving at Nicole.
Try and catch me, Miss Factoid, I teased.
Name-calling is so immature, she yelled, chasing after me. Then she stopped and pointed behind me. Jordan, look out!
Hey, I'm not falling for that old trick, I called.
I skipped backwards through the snow. I didn't want to take my eyes off that bitch, in case she planned to pelt me with snowballs. Jordan, I mean it, she screamed. Stop!
Chapter number 9.
Thud! I landed hard on my back in a pile of snow.
Ugh! I grunted and stunned.
Not and stunned, I just grunted stunned.
I struggled to catch my breath, then I stared around me. I had fallen down some kind of creepy crevasse. I sat shivering in a pile of snow surrounded by narrow cliffs of bluish ice and rock. I stood and looked up. I should have made a Heisenberg joke as it said bluish ice. No time for that. The opening of the crevasse was at least 20 feet above me. Frantically, I clutched at the icy walls. I grabbed onto a jutting rock and fumbled for a foothold, hoping to climb out. I hoisted myself up a couple feet. Then my hand slipped and I slid back to the bottom. I tried again. The ice was too slick. How would I ever get out of this shit? Where were Dad and Nicole? I tried to warm my cheeks with my mittens.
But he means his butt cheeks. No, I'm just kidding. Probably his face cheeks.
Why didn't they come to get me? I'm gonna freeze down here. Nicole's face appeared at the top of the crevasse. I'd never been so happy to see her in my life. Jordan, are you all right?
Get me out of here,
I shouted. Don't worry, Nicole assured me. Dad's coming. I leaned against the pit wall. The sunlight didn't reach the bottom. My toes felt ready to break off. They were so goddamn cold. I jumped up and down to keep warm. A few minutes later, I heard Dad's voice. Jordan, are you hurt?
No, Dad, I called up to him. God.
He, Nicole, and Arthur all stared down at me from above. Arthur is going to lower a rope down to you, Dad instructed. Hold on to it, and we'll hoist you out of there. I stepped aside as Arthur tossed one end of a knotted rope into the crevasse. I clutched the rope with my mittened hand. Arthur shouted, Heave! Dad and Arthur tugged on the rope. I planted my feet in the footholds on the ice, bracing myself against the side of the crevasse. The rope slipped out of my hands. I clutched it tighter.
Hold on, Jordan! Dad called.
They pulled me again. My arms felt as if they were going to be yanked out of their sockets. Ew! I cried like a little bitch.
Careful!
Slowly, they hoisted me to the top of the crevasse. I wasn't much help.
No shit.
My feet kept slipping on the icy walls. Dad and Arthur took...
They did some shit.
Dad and Arthur each took one of my hands and dragged me out of the pit. I lay on the snow, trying to catch my stupid breath. Dad tested my arms and legs for sprains and breaks.
You sure you're all right?
He asked. I nodded.
I fucking hate this kid. Am I allowed to say that? Yeah, I, of course I am. Fuck this kid.
I nodded. It was a mistake to haul kids along, Arthur grumbled. The snow is not as solid as it looks, you know. If we hadn't seen you fall, we never would have found you. We've got to be more careful, Dad agreed. I want you both to stick close to the sled. He leaned over the side of the crevasse and snapped a picture. I stood up and brushed the snow from the seat of my pants.
I'll be careful from now on, I promised.
Good, Dad said.
We'd better push on, Arthur said. We started walking across the snow. I gave Nicole a shove once in a while, and she shoved me back. But we were quieter now. Neither of us wanted to end up frozen to death at the bottom of a snow hole. Dad snapped away as we walked.
How much farther to the cabin?
He asked Arthur, sounding suspiciously like the main character.
Another couple of miles, Arthur replied. He pointed to a steep mountain of snow in the distance. See that snow rise about 10 miles off? That's where the monster was last spotted.
The abominable snowman!
Had been seen by that snow rise, I thought. Where was he now? Could he see us coming? Was he hiding somewhere?
Always watching us!
Ooh, there's a drinking break in this one for the first time. Don't mind if I do. Plus, I gotta catch a full buzz because I have to go to Costco in a little bit. We can't handle Costco sober. A bunch of fucking white people. Am I right? I guess I'm right. I kept my eyes on the snow rise as we walked. It seemed to go bigger as we came closer to it. That's called perspective, asshole. The snow rise was dotted with pine trees and boulders. After about an hour, a tiny brown speck appeared a mile or so away. That's the abandoned musher's cabin where we'll stop for the night, Dad explained. He rubbed his gloves together and added, It sure will be nice to sit by a roaring fire. I clapped my mittens together to keep the blood flowing through my hands. I can't wait, I agreed. It must be -2,000 degrees out here.
-2,000 degrees is way past absolute zero, which is the coldest they can get, jerk fag.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like negative Kelvin, which doesn't exist, am I right? Temperature? People that are into temperature? I'm into like 68 degrees, 69 degrees. That's the temperature I'm into. Right now, in San Diego, California, without the fucking heater blaring, it is 70 degrees exactly. I just looked at my thermostat. That's how hot it is right now on January 4th, 2014. Actually, it's about minus 10, Nicole stated. At least that's the average temperature for this area this time of year. Thank you, weather girl, I joked. And now for sports, Arthur. Arthur frowned into his beard. I guess he didn't get the joke.
Dude, he got it. He just thinks you're a douche. Everyone thinks you're a douche.
He fell behind us a little to check the back of the sled. Dad turned around to snap Arthur's picture. When we get to the musher's cabin, I'll take a few more scenery photos, Dad said, as he changed his film. Maybe I'll photograph the cabin, too. Then we'll all turn in. We have a big day tomorrow. By the time we reached the cabin, it was almost 8 o'clock at night.
Took us long enough to get here,
Arthur grumbled, once again sounding like the main character. We left town after lunch. It should have taken us about 5 hours. The kids having accidents and all is slowing us down. Dad stood a few feet from him, shooting a portrait of Arthur while he talked. Mr. Blake, did you hear me? Arthur growled. Stop taking my picture.
What?
Dad said, letting his camera drop to his chest like an Asian tourist. Ah, yeah, kids. Bet they're hungry. I explored the musher's cabin. It didn't take long. The tiny wooden shack was empty except for an old wood-burning stove and a couple of broken-down cots. Speaking of Heisenberg, am I right? Because when that guy sent him up to that cabin before he came back and killed all the Nazis and himself. I was about to spoiler alert after I explained it, but you should have seen the end, assholes.
Why is the cabin so empty? Nicole asked.
Mushers don't stop here anymore, Arthur explained. They're afraid of the monster.
I didn't like the sound of that.
I glanced at Nicole. She rolled her eyes. Arthur bedded the dogs.
Is that legal in Alaska? Wait, I guess everything's legal in Alaska.
Franklin, you're lucky we don't live in Alaska, bud.
Because I'd just cornhole you.
Can I edit this out? I guess hypothetically, as I'm the one who edits this, I could edit that statement out. But I feel horrible about saying it, and I'm too lazy to edit it out.
Franklin, I love you. I would never do anything wrong to you. I love you.
Tell me you love me!
I'm going to get you more Kibbles and Bits mini bits today when I go to run errands. If they don't have mini bits at Costco, is it okay if I get you the normal bits for normal sized dogs? Not that you're not normal.
Oh god, I'm digging myself deeper in here. Let's just move on. Arthur bedded the dogs in a lean-to outside the cabin. The lean-to was a shed built against the cabin back wall. It was filled with straw for the dogs to sleep on. I spotted a rusty old dog sled propped in the corner. Then Arthur lit a fire and began to fix some supper. Tomorrow we'll search for this so-called monster, Dad announced. Everybody get a good night's sleep. After supper, we crawled into our sleeping bags. I lay awake for a long time, listening to the howling wind outside, listening for the thudding footsteps of the abominable snowman. Ooh, a drinking break. I like how his writing's so weird that we get almost halfway in, and there's none of them, and there's two of them in the same chapter. He's like, oh, I forgot about those.
Nicole, get off me!
She rolled over in her sleeping bag and jabbed her elbow into my ribs. I knocked her arm away and snuggled deeper inside my own toasty, warm sleeping bag. Nicole opened her eyes. Bright morning sunshine streamed into the cabin. I'll be back in a minute to fix breakfast, kids, Dad said. He sat in a chair, lacing up his snow boots. First, I'm going out to check on the dogs. Arthur went out to feed them a few minutes ago. He bundled up and stepped outside. I rubbed my nose. It was cold. The fire in the stove had gone out during the night. No one had relit it yet. You relight it, you fucking lazy piece of shit. I forced myself to climb out of my sleeping bag and start pulling on clothes. Nicole began dressing, too.
Do you think there's a hot shower in this dump?
I wondered out loud. Nicole smirked at me. You know perfectly well there's no hot shower, Jordan.
Oh, wow, this is incredible, I heard Dad shout from outside.
I jammed my feet into my boots and raced out the door. Nicole pushed right behind me. Dad stood at the side of the musher's cabin, pointing in shock at the ground. I gazed down and saw deep footprints in the snow. Huge footprints. Enormous footprints. So big that only a monster could have made them. If you don't have pets, you're really missing out on a huge part of life. I, after recording that section, the chapter, Yoda, the hairless sphinx cat, little tubby Yodi, just came over and demanded attention and was rubbing against my face while I was petting him, and he was purring, and he was just very happy and content. And, okay, sorry, I was checking to see which mic was recording. I was hoping it wasn't the fucking laptop mic. Anyway, point is, cats are amazing. Dogs are amazing. More so dogs than cats, but still.
Chapter!
Number 10. Unbelievable! That was the old Wiener Schnitzel thing, yeah? Okay, never mind.
Unbelievable!
Dad murmured, staring at the snow. Arthur hurried over from the lean-to. He stopped when he saw the prince. No! He cried. He was here. His ruddy face grew pale. His jaw trembled with terror. We've got to get away from here now, he said to Dad in a low, frightened voice. Dad tried to calm him down. Hold on a minute. Let's not jump to conclusions. We're in terrible danger, Arthur insisted. The monster is nearby. He'll rip us to shreds, asshole. Nicole knelt in the snow, studying the footprints. Do you really think they're real? She asked. Real abominable snowman footprints.
She thinks they're real?
I thought.
She believes.
Dad knelt beside her. They look pretty real to me.
Then I saw a light glimmer in his eyes. He lifted his head and squinted at me suspiciously.
I backed away. Jordan! Nicole cried in an accusing voice. I couldn't help it. I started laughing. Dad shook his head.
Jordan, I should have known.
What? Arthur looked confused and then angry. You mean this little punk-ass kid made these prints? It's a joke?
I'm afraid so, Arthur. Dad sighed.
Arthur scowled at me. Beneath his beard, his face reddened to the color of a slab of raw steak. I cowered. I couldn't help it. Arthur scared me. He sure didn't like kids, especially not kids who play jokes.
I've got shit to do, Arthur muttered. He turned and stomped away through the snow.
Jordan, you crumb, Nicole said. When did you do it?
I woke up early this morning and sneaked out, I admitted.
You were all sleeping. I carved the footprints over my own prints with my mittens. Then I stepped in the prints on my way back to cover my tracks.
You believed, I added, jabbing a finger at Nicole.
For a minute there, you believed in the snow monster.
I want to get an I want to believe X-Files tattoo. Maybe I will.
I did not, Nicole protested. Yes, you did. I got you to believe. I glanced from Nicole's peevish face to Dad's stern one. Don't you think it's funny? I asked. It's just a joke. Usually, Dad likes my jokes. Not this time. Jordan, we're not at home at Pasadena now. We're out in the middle of nowhere, the wilds of Alaska. Things could get very dangerous. You saw that yesterday when your fat, stupid, tubby ass fell down the crevasse. I nodded and hung my head. I'm serious, Jordan, Dad warned me. No more practical jokes. I'm here to work, and I don't want anything to happen to you, or Nicole, or any of us, understand? Yes, Dad. No one said anything for a minute. Then, Dad patted me on the back. Okay, then. Let's go inside and get some breakfast. Arthur returned to the cabin a few minutes later. He stamped the snow off his boots, glaring at me. You think you're funny? He muttered. But wait till you see the snowman. Will you be laughing then? I swallowed hard. The answer to his question was a no. Definitely no. Chapter... Number 11. After breakfast, we hitched the dogs to the sled and set off to the snow rise. Arthur wouldn't talk to me and would hardly look at me. I guess he was angry about my joke. Everybody else has forgiven me. I thought, why can't he? Because he doesn't know you and he doesn't fucking like kids, dude. He's a weird, creepy dude that lives in fucking Alaska. He's not from Southern California. He's not like us, Jordan. Not just some laid-back bros, you know, ripping B-loads, drinking Steel Reserve, you know, fucking... wearing checkerboard Vans. I don't know what people in Southern California do, but he's not like us, Jordan. Nicole and I walked at the front of the sled with the dogs. Behind me, I heard Dad's camera clicking furiously. I knew that meant he'd found something good to photograph. I turned around. A large herd of elk moved toward us, toward the snow rise. We stopped to watch them. Look at them, Dad whispered. Amazing. He quickly loaded new film into his camera and started snapping away again. The elk calmly picked their way across the snow, antlers high. They stopped to eat at the stand of bushes. At a stand of bushes. Arthur pulled back the rein on the lead sled dog to keep him from barking. Suddenly, one elk lifted its head. It seemed to sense something. The other elk tensed up, too. Then they turned and began to gallop away across the tundra. Their hooves thudded over the snow like perfectly normal beasts from the Hitchhiker's Guidebooks. Dad let his camera fall against his chest. That's strange, he said. I wonder what happened. Something scared him. Arthur said grimly. It wasn't us, and it wasn't the dogs. Dad scanned the horizon. What was it, then? We all waited for Arthur's answer, but he only said, we ought to turn around and head back to town right now. We're not going back, Dad insisted. Not after coming all this way. Seriously, you weird fucking hillbilly. You knew I hired you to look for the abominable fucking snowman. I don't understand that as soon as there's any possible sign of it, which, by the way, some elk turning direction is not a fucking sign, then you just want to turn away and leave? Dear God, no wonder you're in Alaska doing nothing with your life. I fucking hate you. Arthur stared at him. Are you going to take my advice or not? No, asshole. Dad replied, I've got a job to do here, and I've hired you to do a job. We're not going back without a good reason. We've got a good reason, Arthur insisted. Only you won't see it that way. Push ahead, Dad ordered. Arthur frowned and shouted, Mush! To the dogs. The sled began to move. We followed it on towards the snow rise. Nicole walked a few feet behind me. I picked up a pile of snow and patted it into a ball. But then, I thought I'd better not throw it. No one seemed to be in the mood for snowball fights. We marched through the snow for a couple of hours. I slipped off my mittens and wiggled my fingers. Frost kept collecting on my upper lip, like a Mexican kid's mustache. I wiped it away. We reached a stand of pine trees at the base of the snow rise. Suddenly, the dogs stopped short. They began to bark. Franklin, bark. Oof! Woof. Franklin, just make a noise. All I ask is that you make any noise. I cannot believe I paid for you to go to Juilliard and you can't act at all. I also can't believe I paid to have you circumcised. That was definitely a waste of money.
Mush! Arthur shouted. The dogs refused to go farther. Nicole ran up to her favorite dog, Lars. What is it, Lars? What's the matter? Lars howled.
Oh, Franklin, do you see what Lars did? When she said, what's the matter, Lars howled. Will you try to howl for me?
Let's try this.
What is it, Franklin? What's the matter?
Fucking silent.
What's wrong with them? Dad asked Arthur. Arthur's face paled again. His hands shook. He stared intently into the trees, squinting into the brightness.
Something's frightened the dogs, he said. Look how their fur stands on end.
I patted Lars. It was true, his fur stood straight up. The dog growled.
Not much scares these dogs, Arthur said. Whatever it is, it's scaring them bad.
The dogs all howled. Nicole huddled close to Dad.
There's something dangerous on that snow rise, Arthur said. Something dangerous and very near.
Chapter number 12, yeah.
I'm warning you, Mr. Blake, Arthur said. We've got to go back.
No way, Dad protested. We're not going back, I mean it.
The dogs barked and skittered nervously. Arthur shook his head.
I won't go any farther. The dogs won't either.
Dad shouted, mush, to the dogs. They howled and started backing up.
Oh, the problem is they got those dogs in reverse.
Mush, he cried again. Instead of going forward, the dogs turned around in the snow.
You're upsetting them, Arthur said. They won't go any farther. I told you that.
If we turn around now, Arthur added, we can make it back to the cabin before it gets too late.
What are we going to do, Dad? I asked.
Dad frowned.
Maybe Arthur's right. Something is definitely frightening the dogs. There could be a bear or something nearby.
Not a bear, Mr. Blake, Arthur insisted. These dogs are spooked, and so am I.
He marched away across the snow, heading back toward the musher's cabin.
Arthur, Dad called, come back here.
Arthur didn't turn around.
Wow, Franklin, even you could handle that one, huh?
He didn't say a word, he just kept walking. He must be really scared, I thought, and that sent a chill of fear down my back.
Still barking excitedly, the dogs pulled the sled around and started following Arthur.
Dad peered into the woods.
I wish I could see what's out there.
Let's go check it out, I urged. Whatever it is, it'll probably make a great photo.
That usually gets Dad. He glanced back at Arthur, the dogs and the sled rushing towards the cabin.
Nah, it's too dangerous. We have no choice.
Let's go, kids.
We trudged back to the cabin.
Maybe I can persuade Arthur to push on tomorrow, Dad muttered.
I didn't say shit, but I had a feeling it wouldn't be easy to get Arthur to climb that snow rise. And maybe Arthur was right, I thought. Those dogs were scared. It was definitely creepy.
Arthur was unhitching the dogs from the sled when we reached the cabin. The dogs had calmed down a bit.
I yanked off my backpack and collapsed on top of my sleeping bag.
We might as well eat supper, Dad grumbled. I could tell he was in a terrible mood.
Jordan, why don't you and Nicole go gather some firewood? But be careful. Don't fall down any crevasses.
Pass the crevasse, yay.
We will, Dad, Nicole promised. I stood up and started out of the cabin.
Jordan, Dad scolded, put your knapsack back on. I don't want you going anywhere without it. Understood?
We're just going for firewood, I protested. I'm tired of carrying it. We'll only be gone for a few minutes, and anyway, Nicole's wearing hers.
Shut up! No arguments! God damn it, why did I bring these kids out here? Dad snapped.
If you get lost, that food will keep you alive until we find you. You leave this cabin, and you wear that backpack. Is that clear?
Boy, was he in a bad mood.
It's clear,
I said, strapping on my pack.
Nicole and I crunched across the snow to the nearest trees. They lined a snow ridge about a half a mile away.
We climbed the snow ridge. I made it to the top first. Nicole, look!
On the other side of the snow ridge, I saw a frozen stream, the first water we'd seen since we set out.
Nicole and I skittered down the ridge and stared into the icy stream. I tested the ice with my foot.
Don't step on it, Jordan!
Nicole cried. You might fall in. I tapped the ice with the tip of my boot. It's solid, I told her. Still, Nicole said. Great argument. Don't take any chances. Dad will kill you if you have another accident.
She probably was pee-peeing in his pants. My friend just got in a motorcycle accident, and his hands are crippled. And every time he references the accident, I'm always just like, man, that guy peed his pants. And it's funny to me, but it's not funny to anyone else, especially because I haven't shared it with anyone else. Now I regret doing so.
If you wonder if there are fish swimming under there, I said, staring into this ice. I wonder, not if you wonder. We should tell Dad about this, Nicole said. He might want to photograph it. We left the stream to gather dead branches under the trees. We lugged them over the snow ridge and back across the snow to the cabin. Thanks, kids, Dad said when we burst into the cabin. He took the wood from us and started a fire in the stove. How about pancakes for supper tonight? He's in a better mood now, I thought with relief. Nicole told Dad about the frozen stream. Interesting, Dad said. I'll take a look at it after supper. I've got to find something to photograph besides all this ice and snow. The pancakes cheered all of us up. Except for Arthur's bitch ass. He ate a lot, but he didn't say much. He appeared jittery. He dropped his fork on the floor, muttering to himself. He picked it up and started eating without wiping it off. Ew! When supper was over, Nicole and I helped Dad clean up. We were gathering up the supplies when the dogs started to bark. I saw Arthur freeze. What's that? I cried. What's upset the dogs?
Chapter.
Thirteen. The dogs yelped. I bet they're pretentious douchebags. I'm kidding. The dogs yelped and barked. Was someone out there? An animal? A monster? I'll go check, Arthur said solemnly. He pulled on his coat and wool cap and hurried out of the cabin. Dad grabbed his coat. Stay here, he instructed Nicole and me. He followed Arthur. We stared at each other, listening to the yelping dogs. A few seconds later, the barking stopped. Dad poked his head back into the cabin. Nothing out there. We don't know what got into them. We don't know what got them upset, but Arthur is calming them down now. Dad grabbed his camera. You two need to get some sleep, okay? I'm going to check out that stream. I won't be long. He draped the camera over his fur coat collar. Great. I'm going to have to throw red paint all over this book to make PETA happy. No more fur coats, R.L. Stein. I'm saying that, but I'm about to go eat like every kind of meat possible. The cabin door slammed behind him. We heard Dad's footsteps crunching over the snow. Then, silence. Nicole and I climbed into our sleeping bags. I rolled onto my side, trying to get comfortable. It was after 8 o'clock, but still light outside. The sun filtered through the window of the cabin. The light reminded me of when I was little. Mom used to try to make me take a nap in the afternoon. I never could sleep in the daytime. You're missing out. I closed my eyes. I opened them. I wasn't sleepy. I turned my head and glanced at Nicole. She lay on her back, her eyes wide open. We caught each other's eyes and kissed passionately. Passionately! Oh, no, it doesn't say that at all. It just says, I can't sleep either, I announced. Me either, she replied. I squirmed in my sleeping bag. Where's Arthur? Nicole asked. I wonder what's taking him so long. I guess he's hanging out with the dogs, I said. I think he likes them better than he likes us. That's for sure, Nicole agreed. We tossed and turned some more. The sky stayed bright. The light poured in through the cabin window. I give up, I groaned. Let's go outside and build a snowman or something. Dad said to stay put. We won't go anywhere. We'll stay by the cabin, I assured her. I crawled out of my sleeping bag and started to get dressed. Nicole sat up. We shouldn't. Come on, what could happen?
I wonder what could happen. Ooh.
She stood up and pulled on her sweater. If I don't do something, I'll go stir crazy, she admitted. We bundled up. I pulled open the cabin door. Jordan, wait, Nicole cried. You forgot your backpack. We're just going out the door, I complained. Come on, Dad said we have to. He'll be furious if he finds us outside. And he'll be even more furious if you're not wearing your pack.
All right, I grumbled. I hoisted the pack over my shoulders. Like something's really going to happen to us.
This seems like something's really going to happen to them.
We stepped out into the cold. I kicked at the snow. Nicole grabbed my coat sleeve. Listen, she whispered like Navi from Zelda, the Ocarina of Time. We heard the crunch of footsteps behind the cabin. It's Arthur, I told her. We crept around to the back. It was Arthur. He crouched beside the dog sled, hitching up one of the dogs. Two others were already tied to the sled. Arthur, I cried, what's up? Startled, he turned to us. He didn't reply. Instead, he jumped on the back of the sled. Mush, he commanded the dogs at the top of his lungs. The dogs leaned forward, tugging hard. The sled began to slide away. Arthur, where are you going? I screamed, come back. The sled picked up speed. Arthur! Arthur! Nicole and I ran after him, shouting his name. But the sled raced farther and farther away from us. Arthur never turned back. This concludes part one of The Abominable Snowman of Pasadena, which I'm really starting to think is never going to be in Pasadena, which makes this cover and title the stupidest thing in the world. And here's a song that me and Sam Skills did about Bigfoot and The Abominable Snowman and Sasquatch and whatnot a couple months ago. So enjoy it and always stay spooky, bitches.
He took a little time away from your laptop and kept on driving way past the blacktop where the road stops and you walk past rocks. Maybe you yourself would witness Sasquatch. He's not a missing link, he's his own damn creature. 8 feet tall with some simian features. He's got too much to say like a Baptist preacher and smells like sage and lots of reefer. We chill on the reg, eat guac and chips. He smokes blunts, I snort rocks and sip. At first he thought I'm an obnoxious kid, but I earned his respect by pop rockin' sick. Now we hang in the mountains when the sun's still beaming. Cook brats, just talk, watch Netflix streaming. When it gets too cold, we hit the beach on the weekends. If I shave him enough, he can pass for our median.
I caught a Sasquatch digging through my stash spot deep in the trees. Bear trap locked on his feet. He screamed a blood-curdling sound like a Wookiee, and he cared less if he's the missing link. Bird or beast, you don't steal from me. Maybe I'll sell him to the circus. Surely Barnum and Bailey, you'll make it worth it. He bleated a lot further. Tears flowing like a monsoon. I got it. Sasquatch burgers, I'll make a fortune. He asked me to call his pal who could pop lock sick. I knew that was trash talk, just a Sasquatch trick. Sasquatches don't have friends, they're loners. I'll make him take a bunch of photos in compromising poses. Sell them to world news, rack up some YouTube views. Bigfoot, you're gonna make me loot. We look into each other's eyes, it's almost like a mirror. But fuck that, I'm betting on a Yeti to buy me a yacht. You can't see tears in the fur of a Sasquatch. You can't see tears in the fur of a Sasquatch. You can't see tears in the fur of a Sasquatch.